This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to the good life.
You're tuned into Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. We are up and live every Thursday from 12 until 1 here on CliffCentral.com.
Came straight from the bottom to the top. My lifestyle. Living life like a beginning. This is only the beginning. Close my eyes and imagine a good life. Better than the life I live.
Hey everybody, how are you? We are now totally in Feb. Feb is always such a weird month. It's my birthday month, but I also think most people are broker than they've ever been in February. I think it's a little bit worse than Jan in my mind. Anyway, hey everybody, welcome to Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. We're live on Cliff Central every Thursday from 12 until 1. Remember, you can download this podcast no matter where you are in the world, whether you're in Lagos, New York City, or indeed Joburg. I'm excited about today's show because me and this individual go ways back. And every year, we used to be very good at it, and then we got really busy. But every year, like, we're going to meet over for lunch. We're going to meet for lunch. And then finally, we're getting together because of work. So, also, we're talking about one of my favorite things, which is fashion. Last week, I was with my friend Mokgadi Itsoeng talking food. If you didn't hear that podcast, please go and download it on cliffcentral.com or go to our Facebook page, which is Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala, and you'll get to see my guests and who I'm talking to. Today, I have a fashion editor, a fashion stylist, freelancer, a mama, and one of the most wonderful people I've ever met in my life. Mpumi Sinkosa, welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here. It's long overdue, but totally happy to be here.
Exactly, exactly. So I know we're going to talk about all kinds of things like trends, etc. But I thought first let's talk a little bit about you. You brought me probably my favorite cover last year. It's very hard for me to be pleased with with magazine covers, but I wanted to talk about that gorgeous cover you shot with Victor Dlamini with Mama Esther Mahlangu. What was that like?
Gosh, Mama Esther is amazing. Mama Esther is a legend. I think what was so amazing about it is that it was an opportunity to celebrate someone before. I think we tend to celebrate people when they've passed away.
Yes,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? And she was still here, and she's made such a difference in terms of, promoting what African culture is,
exactly.
And keeping that a living legacy.
Mm.
So she's still around, so why not celebrate somebody while they're around?
Mm.
And also going out of the normal context of what a cover girl should be.
Exactly.
And us saying, this is what our cover girl should be and our cover woman should be, and for X, Y, and Z. And I think she's pushed the boundaries in so many ways. It was just amazing to be in her presence and to shoot that cover.
I think you mentioned such a good point, because magazines are known for having a certain type of woman. She's got to be light. She's got to have long flowy weave, be generally skinny. And I think over the past couple of years, we've seen publishers and editors begin to understand that there are all kinds of women in the world, and there should be all sorts of representation. So when you're styling somebody like her, well, I mean, she styles herself really well. I mean, she is dope. So what do you bring when you are styling somebody who's got such a clear sense of aesthetic
who
of who she is?
I think it's not to remove her from who she is,
yeah,
but to enhance, basically, in terms of the type of shots we want to go for, in terms of the close-ups, in terms of the mood we want to go for, and then also injecting a little bit of something that's urban and current, so that also our generation or a younger generation can still relate to her, which is why we added some Dolce and Gabbana shades in one of the shots, and we added some Stan Smiths in some of the shots. Yeah. Like, she can, the two aesthetics can still work together. So exactly. I think I also wanted to showcase that we can wear who we are, but still be relevant in what's going on today.
Exactly, because I feel like one of the things that irritates me is that traditional African garb is seen as costumey. Yeah, you know,
like
you're going to
for Heritage
event.
Day. Exactly.
And the truth of the matter is that you should be able to
marry the two
all the time into your everyday life. And I think that's what that shoot did. It kind of brought it to the fore. And what was it like having Victor? I mean, I actually need to interview him one of these days. What was that like?
Victor is, he's a character. He's awesome. He has a vision. Yeah, he sees things that I don't see. I don't know. He just knows how to capture somebody's essence.
Yeah.
Truly in their essence. And when you see his portraiture afterwards, you're like, wow, you were able to capture that person's spirit. So yeah. Working with him is always amazing.
He's great. And he shot the cover of my book. I think I've said that.
Yeah.
Almost everybody knows. And what I like about him is that he's committed to seeing you.
Yeah.
So there's very little, you know, people with longer necks and white eyes. Yeah. Where you're just like, who is this? You know, he's able to be real, but also show the most beautiful part of you. So throughout the years, so that was Destiny, obviously, but throughout the years, you know, we've also worked together. You've done True Love and different magazines, and I want to talk about how you become a fashion editor. But before we get there, what are you doing now? So it's not just about you coming in as talking trends, and you're going to be a repeat guest, but let me tell you, by the way, let me sensitize you to this right now. what are you up to now?
Right now I'm freelancing, so I'm working on various projects. I'm working in a bit of TV, and then I work with individual clients. So if people call me in, they want a wardrobe revamp or they're doing a personal shoot, then I'm available for that. I'm also working a lot with youth. I've realized that there's a huge gap in the market in terms of people speaking to them authentically as African youth. So I'm working with two young girls on that on a platform named Blackboard Africa. But in terms of fashion, I felt that if we start speaking, being individualistic and being true to yourself, even via fashion, that young people will learn not to always copy American trends, but to set our own trends as Africans.
Exactly.
So I'm trying to push that narrative in a huge way. So that's what I've been busy with a lot.
I mean, I saw Amonge at Afropunk when I saw the pictures on your Instagram page, and she looked amazing.
Thank you.
It was age appropriate,
which
is really, really important, because I worry about young girls being too sexy.
I feel like they are. You're young.
You don't even understand your body.
Yeah.
You can't even be, you know, confident in it because you haven't walked in it long enough. And I think what she wore was beautiful for her age, but also, you know, classy.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was you helping influence her, right?
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I think it's exactly that. I think there's a thin line between being sexy and how to dress at 16 years old and a girl in this country and the day-to-day things that girls have to deal with. You know what I mean? So you do have to be conscious of that.
Yeah.
But also being able to show, hey, this is what African flavor is about.
Exactly.
And, I mean, the world was astonished by the pictures that came out of Afropunk.
Exactly.
And the trends that actually came out of this continent. Mm. So we are the trend centers. I mean, I'm thinking last this week when Rihanna was on stage dancing the guaracara, like, people are looking to us.
Exactly.
And I really wish that we would understand the influence that we have in this world.
Yeah, and the power that we have.
The power that we have.
It is within us. It's not.
It really
formed
is.
From some external, otherworldly place. It's here.
It's here.
You know what I mean?
It's here.
So I will give out Mpumi's details later. If you are somebody who's looking for a stylist, you are looking for a closet revamp, etc. She's somebody that I whose style I admire a lot, not just because she's my friend. and I'm being very open about the fact that I'm inviting my friends. One of the things I discovered in Pumi is that we all know each other, but we very rarely interview each other.
Yeah.
We've sort of struggled together in this media industry. And we're not going to tell you the secrets, people. That's like when we're having one somewhere, not here. But I wanted to profile a lot of the people that I know who are great, who I admire, and you are certainly one of them.
Thank you so much.
So somebody listening, I mean, they're thinking, by the way, you can download this podcast on cliffcentral.com live and direct every Thursday from 12 until 1 with me. you can follow me at @TheRadioTJ on Instagram and on Twitter. So somebody listening, how do you become a fashion editor? What was your route? What was your, how did you get to become
a fashion editor? Fashion has always been in my blood, but I come from a parent, a family of academia. So everybody went to school, master's, PhDs, blah, blah, blah. So when they were like fashion, they were like, no,
oh
like
God.
That's not going to get you in life.
So
that's
you,
not happy.
You went the other
I
way.
Went a long route around. I studied political science for like 2 years. I studied marketing. And then from then, I finally convinced the parents that this is still what I want to do. Mm. And I ended up at Lysoff. So I studied fashion design at Lysoff for 3 years. And then from there, I immediately jumped into an internship at Elle Magazine.
Okay.
I realized that I liked clothes, I liked getting people dressed, but I didn't really want to make them myself.
Okay. Because that's what I was going to ask you. How did you know that you were not meant to be a designer?
Yeah, like I didn't like the pattern making. I tried to make stuff for people. I just didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I liked finding stuff and putting them together and putting it on people.
Yeah.
So I was at Elle Magazine for a couple of months, and then an opening opened up at Marie Claire, where I was then the fashion assistant. I worked at Marie Claire for some time. Then I moved over to True Love, where I was also a fashion assistant. Then I was the fashion editor at True Love.
Yeah. Amazing work.
And then I left magazines for a while, and I did a lot of TV stuff and billboards and commercial stuff. And then I ended back into magazines at Ndalo Media with Destiny, where I was the fashion and lifestyle director. So yeah, I've done a lot of different stuff. But how to become a fashion editor, I would say it's not really about education, but it's about an eye. It's being able to spot different things, but put them together on a human body, no matter what shape or size that you are given.
Exactly, because the limitation for me, how I judge a good fashion editor is somebody who can dress anybody. I think if you need a person to be model size to dress them, you have a problem.
Yeah, then you really don't understand clothing or styling.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'll ask you about your proudest moments, shoots that you enjoyed and people that you've enjoyed working with. But a lot of people then hear that and they imagine you sitting around looking at clothes all day, you know, paging through magazines. You know, they think of the Devil Wears Prada. People don't think of the reality. So what does a typical day in your life look like? And I'm sure there isn't a typical day. But when people think they want to become fashion stylists, what will that look like? Like an average day?
Yeah, there's a lot of running around. There's a lot of picking up boxes. There's a lot of steaming and taping of shoes. And also trying to create a vision of somebody that people have seen on a regular, but trying to show them in a different light.
Right.
So it's also like research, it's also keeping up with trends, but also trying to interpret that to the specific person that you're styling at the moment.
Mm.
I think styling to me has always been more than just clothes, but it's also a way of telling stories.
Mm.
So that was my way of painting. So I'm not an artist, I can't paint, but I can tell a story via clothes and via people.
Mm.
So for me, it's always been about that. So whenever I'm giving the subject, it's like, okay, who is this and where are they going and how have people seen them, but how can I display another side of
them
that people haven't seen? But yeah, day to day is a lot of running around, sourcing, put on your Converse, spend an entire day in a mall, going from store to store. On set, like I said, steaming, taping. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, but it's not as glamorous as a lot of people think that it is.
I interviewed somebody once who wanted to be a fashion assistant, and they said from the jump, yeah, but you know what? I don't tape shoes. I just don't run around. And I was like, oh. The door is that way.
Like, you're not going to last long. Yeah, because we all do it.
Because you think somebody's going to do it for you. I mean, even when I would attend shoots as the editor of the magazine, I would still be taping shoots.
Yeah,
because
you're still
taping
them.
You are working. I think this idea that you have these minions who are running around and they're going to come and give you the clothes.
It doesn't work that way.
Pick the ones you like. It's not realistic.
It doesn't work
At some
way.
Point, we all have to get our hands dirty, right?
Yeah.
So what are the things that you need to be aware of? As you say, you're running from store to store, getting clothes. But you have a brief.
Yeah.
You know, either it's a swimsuit thing or, you know, depending on what it is that month. So how do you know where to go? I mean, there's so many shops. Like, where do you have shops that you know this you'll always like? Here, I'll always get nice things. Or is it just about like experimenting and seeing where it takes
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think it's about. I mean, I guess depending on what brief it is. I mean, if it's suiting, you know who the best tailors are, and you know immediately where to go and where to start. But I think it's what the brief is and being able to walk into different stores and say, okay, I spot that, and that I can put together with whatever I got at two stores back and put looks together while you're sourcing. So it's also just like exhausting. Literally, you can walk in the mall at 9 and walk out at 5 and literally spend the entire day in the mall, but you're styling while you're still sourcing.
Yeah. And I mean, it's, I think fashion is the greatest form of art because we wear it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like walking art. Yeah.
So what you're doing in that time is constructing the art piece, as it were, in your mind.
In your mind, you know? It's a lot of work, but it's great. I really love it.
What kind of a personality do you need to do this job? Just if you were to say the three character traits that you need to do this job, what would they be?
You have to be creative. You have to be patient. I was gonna say
if patience is not
patient, there's a lot of waiting around. Patience. And I think you have to be a little bit outgoing, working with people. I'm such an introvert, so it's always been something that's so hard for me. I'm super shy, and I think in turn I've always worked with assistants that like boost that side of me because I'm just not that. But now that I'm freelancing, I've literally had to come out of my shell. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, because you have to.
You
are the business.
You are the business. So like, you have to step it up. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly. We're both Pisces, and it's quite funny because people will think that, oh, you think so highly of yourself. And what they're actually misreading is just straight up shyness.
Straight up shyness.
Like, straight up, like, I don't even know. I really wish I could. But like, oh, let me just, like, hide somewhere. But obviously, this is not the world we live in. Now, before we get into fashion, we're going to talk about fashion, but I want to put this as a disclaimer that I'm not shading anybody with what I'm about to say. But I feel that I want to ask this question because of the climate that we're in as creative people. In as much as I love social media and what it's done to highlight people and what they do, everybody nowadays can write. Everybody nowadays can take a photograph. Just because you dress yourself well, you think you're a stylist. And what it has done, and I'm just going to, just real talk, is diminish what we have spent almost two decades doing.
Yeah.
Training for, honing it, starting at the bottom. Now it seems like everybody who can put an outfit together
is a stylist.
Now, I like dressing myself, but I'm not a stylist.
Yeah.
I like taking photographs with my phone. I'm not a damn photographer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like there's, through time, it's sort of come across as though anybody can do what you do. What has been the impact of social media for your profession? I know for my profession, everybody writes a book these days. You know, everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. It's just, it's sad.
I think it's very sad.
Yeah.
I think it just diminishes the actual industry itself.
Exactly.
It diminishes what we put out there to the world. It's sad. And people and clients are now going for those with the most followers those, you know what I mean? Or those who have cheaper rates. And I think it's just destabilizing everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
I think personally for me, I continue to work with people who know me and my work, who have been working with me for years.
Yeah.
So there's that bit of advantage. And I don't know, there was a time I was like, I need to get top on this Instagram stuff.
Exactly.
I was like, but it's not me.
But it's not who you are.
It's not who I am. And I would much rather my work speak for itself than me trying to be posting every day. You know what I mean? It's a hard one. It's a tough one. There's days I wake up and I'm like, I wish Instagram could just crash. Like, I wonder what would happen. Like, if it just crashed, like, people,
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Then exactly.
Let's see what would happen.
Because what it has done is forced people to think that if you don't have X amount of followers, if you're not posting your outfit every week. Now, the thing that's important to me is that you are the one who's dressing the people.
Yeah.
You are not the thing.
It doesn't, you know.
So
what
now
I mean?
These days, the stylists themselves must,
they must
like,
look the part. So like, when you think of the top fashion designers in the world, when they walk down the ramp after their collection, you're like, you look pretty ordinary.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Whether it's Christopher Bailey.
You know?
Doesn't matter who it is. It's like, it's not, but it's in this world now where, you know, put me the stylist so people must see you on social media. So how do you temper that? How do you balance the being on social media?
I think for me, social media, I'm trying to learn how to use it as a business tool.
Yes.
Let me put it that way. So it's not about me, but it's about my work. So if that's what I want to put out there, I'm trying to use it more regularly. I'm putting my work out there. Mm. And then it's just a little bit of me, of who I am, of my life, of the fact that I'm a mother and I'm a wife, and I'm trying to balance all of that out. So I show that bit side of me here and there. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'll ever get caught up in that. I don't know.
If you think about, to me, in my opinion, the greatest stylist of all time, Grace Coddington, who is the creative director at Vogue USA. I think she's got like, have you seen her Instagram page?
Yeah.
It's cats. Yes. It's pictures
of
a cat.
You know what I mean?
She's not even.
She's not about that.
But she's one of the greatest fashion storytellers of
in
our time.
The world.
In the world.
Yeah.
And she's not on social media.
No,
so
not.
I think we need to, as you say, you can use it as a business tool, but it is not certainly
really,
the end all
and
be all. So we're not shading anybody. We're
no,
just
shade,
like,
no shade,
no shade, no shade, no shade. No. We want you guys to flourish. You must flourish. So the Grammys were this week.
Yes.
So I thought before we start talking trends and more fashion, who are the looks that you liked? And some of the people that we referred to will put up the pictures on the Facebook page so people know who we're talking about. But who did you like? Who are like your top three, top five people?
Top three, EVE.
Oh my gosh.
EVE. I loved that suit.
It's just
outstanding. It was like a mix between a little bit of masculine, but like the sexy edge to it. Ooh. I think she pulled it off beautifully.
I think she killed. Yeah, she's absolutely my favorite as well. You saw Cardi B?
I saw Cardi B. I think they look pretty. Her and her sister look pretty. I like the whites. I wasn't blown away with her look.
No, because you think it's like, it's the Grammys, you know? It's a bit like sort of Princess Fiona ish for me, you know, and she's like, this is blood.
You know what I mean?
So I thought she was going to come with something.
Like,
I was like, oh, now you look like a boppy there.
Who else?
There's also Gaga.
Gaga is always dramatic. She always makes a statement. I don't think I was really super blown away by anybody this year.
No, me neither. Beyonce?
Bay is so touchy. I'm scared of the Bay Hive.
Yeah, you see, I'm afraid I'm with you on this one. You see, here's the thing about Beyonce, is that, and I love her. You know, I'm a card-holding member of the Bay Hive.
I really love her.
But
I don't know, she always gets it wrong for me.
Yeah, there's always something missing.
Yes.
You always look at her outfit and you're like
almost there, but you didn't.
Bad.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just
so we're going to keep her in the we like it, but dot, dot, dot.
But dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, don't come for us.
No, please, please. Please. I love Bay.
J-Lo, here she is. She's wearing this sort of, I don't know, she's got a gray body, but she's one of those people as well. Sometimes it's wonderful and other
and
times
sometimes it's just a mess.
She's wearing the sort of pink, I haven't figured out who the designer is yet.
I like the neckline. I think
the neckline is beautiful,
but
right?
I think there's like a lot of things going on in that dress.
Yeah, I also think so. It's the slit, it's the boob, it's the
train,
it's the
SZA looked cute. I think she looked I think she looks pretty. I think she looks ethereal.
We have Big Sean, who's dating Janae Aiko. I see they were on holiday. It's so strong.
They're very strong. I never thought they'd last this long, to be quite honest.
The only one. I was just like, oh man, it's so nice. He's wearing a velvet suit.
I think he looks brilliant.
He looked really, really, really good. I liked his style. So we're just going through, and then there's Miss Janelle Monáe. You know, she always
I like her suits. Yeah. I'm not feeling the hair, but yeah, she always comes through with the powerful.
Yeah,
suit.
I must say the blonde.
Yeah. Not sure if it's working.
Not really here for it, hey? Alicia Keys, I found her a little bit boring. I wasn't moved by her outfit. Now, let's talk about Chrissy Teigen. She wore this silver number. You know, she's pregnant at the moment.
Yeah.
So, what did you think?
I thought she looked... I think this trend is coming through a lot. Okay. This whole 70s dancing queen. If you saw Rihanna's dress as well.
Yeah.
It had that type of feel to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she pulled it off. I think it was a bold move to do something like that while you're pregnant.
Yeah, I think it's hard not to look like you're wrapped in tin foil.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think, you know who pulls off that look every time? It's Tracee Ellis Ross.
I don't know
how she does it, but she can wear the most glittery thing, and I'm like, you look amazing.
That woman, I'm surprised she's not on a huge number of best dress list.
She really should be.
Gets it. She's
she gets
so
it every
like,
time.
Every single
every
time.
Every single time.
Every single time.
And she can do anything. That's
exactly.
Like...
Exactly. No, I mean, I think it's not for everybody. I think certain people get it right. I didn't see Sierra. This was, like, was a year ago.
I didn't see Sierra.
But anyway, you can like I said, later today we'll post the pictures from the Grammys. It's funny because these days the thing that's exciting about the Grammys is the red carpet. It's not necessarily the performances, believe it or not. So the reason why you're here as well is to talk trends for the year. So I'm seeing a lot of shoulder pads coming through. So obviously you and I, the generation, we're our mothers.
The 80s shoulders
are coming back
hard and strong. And I love
they're
it.
Quite
they're hard,
hard
and they're exaggerated.
Yeah.
And they're, so that's huge. That's huge. You must look out for that.
So are they for everybody? Are there certain people who should not be wearing shoulder pads? I mean, is there where you're like, if your neck is too short, or is it just about what it is and the silhouette?
I think it's about the silhouette and what it is.
Yeah.
If it's a jacket, it's how it sits, whether it's a slouchy jacket or whether it's a tighter cloth. I think shoulder pads, anybody can rock shoulder pads, to be quite honest with you, but the thickness and on what it's actually sitting on will vary from person to person.
Yeah. So I thought maybe you could take us through some of the ones that we're going to see this year, some of the trends we're going to see this year. And I want to make it clear to people that trends, what Mpumi's going to read, she's not expecting you to go to the shop and get every single one of these things. Because here's the thing about what we do. We help people figure out what the trends are, but it's, you don't have to wear an entire trend.
Yeah.
Remember when neon was in...
And people were wearing it from head to toe.
I was like, I ain't a guy.
That's not how it
goes. Exactly. You know? So, yeah, let's just run through them, but with the understanding that you can use your own interpretation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like I had said earlier, there's that whole disco vibe type of thing. So it's called, like, glitter extravaganza. So a lot of sequins coming through, glitter. It reminds you of, like, studio... What is that studio?
54.
In fact,
I saw an image of Oprah. I think she's just shot for...
Yes.
She's wearing the sequin dress. I'm like, yes, mama,
sequins
give me the life.
Sequins are coming through strong. So.
But I have a question for me. I want a dress. Where will I find it in South Africa? Are they... Is it going to come later on in the year, or will I be able to purchase? Because I'd love to get a glittery dress.
Yes, I'm sure they're going to come through. The trends always trifle through in terms of all retail levels. Let me put it that way. Zara will definitely have its own interpretation. Mr. Price will have its own interpretation, whether it's via a dress, whether it's via a top.
Yeah.
I think it'll filter through.
Yeah, and I have seen Tracy as well wear some
a
beautiful
lot of
glittery
stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of Cardi B. Her thing is coming through with like fluffy feathers, ethereal. It's very ethereal, is coming through. So the whites, but a lot of fluffiness. I don't know how to put it.
Yeah. So what's interesting to me about the whole feathers thing, I remember a couple of years ago, some people really were 3 years old when this happened, but I was working. Bjork came to the Grammys dressed as a swan. You know, I remember people were like, she is crazy.
What is she doing?
She looks like she's crazy. And it's funny now, you see it a lot. I think even at the Grammys last year, Beyonce wore this
That's huge thing.
With the it had the shoulder pads we just spoke about and the feathers. So it's just seeing a lot of that come through. Is it mainly skirts and tops or just sort of a variety of stuff.
Yeah. So skirts, jackets, overcoats, that type of
stuff. Okay. Interesting.
What else is coming through? There is something called Night Fever.
What's that?
That's still also a lot of sequins and that type of stuff, but dark. So, like, I saw Bae as well. She was wearing, so it's like velvet, so very still glam, but like the dark side, if that makes sense.
So it's the kind of thing where it's like black on black.
Yeah, but it's different textures of black.
Yeah, so
different
you're wearing. Yeah, I saw she had like a velvet thing. Yeah. On. Even Jay-Z. Actually.
Even Jay-Z also had different.
I'm loving his fashion.
I am.
I've got to
he
be honest.
He stepped up. And
he
I'm like.
Stepped up. I am here for it.
I am too.
The suits actually suit him.
They look amazing on
and
him.
And I think men need to understand. This is such an important lesson for men to learn. When you were younger and cool, and you remember him, he used to rock.
Of course, the rockaway.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a time and a place for everything. I think you get to a stage as a guy where you need to find a good suit.
Yeah.
You need to have a cut that works
that
for
works
you.
That works for you.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that looks better than a black man in a suit.
Yes.
Proper suit. Mm-hmm.
This is so real, this life. I'm loving his fashion at the moment. Yeah.
And then there's red. Red is coming through. Red alerts, bold, brides, unashamedly, here, I'm here, I'm in your face. So you should look out for a lot of red that's coming through this year.
Wow. And I think a lot of people often think that red is about dressing up. You know, you're going to, you know, the lady in red. But actually, it's one of the, for me, what I found with red is that it can be a gorgeous color worn in one. So red, a red dress, red shoes, red lipstick.
Yeah.
Red lipstick solves everything.
It really does. Yeah. Like, even if you're feeling dodgy, you just put on a red lip and you're like, all right.
Exactly. But it can also be an accent color.
Yeah.
You know, you can wear all white and wear red shoes. Or so I think it's all about interpretation.
It's all about
it?
Interpretation. I think that's what I've always stressed about trends. Like, okay, we're seeing what's coming off of the runway and we see what's happening in Europe, but you also have to contextualize it to who you are and where you are.
Yeah.
Who you are as an individual and your body shape and that type of thing. So like you're saying, sequins won't be for everyone or a certain cut of a skirt. So if
right.
we say like big skirts are in, it's not going to work for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's being able to see what's happening and choosing what's best for you and
right.
putting that together.
Yeah.
I think that's style more than anything to me. You know what I mean? Being to interpret what's going on in the world, but then making it
personalizing
it and saying, hey, that's dope. Okay, I see the trend.
Exactly.
There, but yeah, you know what
because I mean? That's one of the things I had to learn about fashion as well. Like, I used to think, oh, I can't find things that suit me, blah, blah, blah. And what I discovered is that I needed to find out what's my personal style.
What's your style?
What do I like?
Yeah.
What are the things that look good on me? And understanding I may not be able to wear jeans all the time because, you know, small waist big. But skirts really work for me and dresses really work for me. So it took a while to get to that point.
Understanding.
So I wanted to go back to your work. In terms of scale, oh, by the way, if you've just tuned in, I'm enjoying this conversation so much, I'm forgetting to remind you that you're listening to Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. We are live and direct every Thursday from 12 until 1 here on Cliff Central to see Mpumi. You can go to our Facebook page. We'll get pictures of her. I saw Mpumi has somebody who's taking pictures. Pictures must be shared. Yeah, Teddy was meant to be here to take pictures with us, but he's not here. So people can see what you look like. By the way, your social media, can we shout it out? People
yes,
want to listen
my
to you?
Twitter is at Mpums, M-P-U-M-Z, and my Instagram is at MPU_ME.
So people can follow you there.
Yes, okay.
I do follow her. I'll read it out for you guys later. So in terms of scale and creativity and a challenge, what was a shoot that you loved, where you were like, this is the one that I pull out to show people what I'm made of. You can have two or three. And if you can take us through what you were shooting.
Okay. One that will always remain in my mind is when we did a Destiny Man cover with an artist named Nelson Makamo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I was given creative license, and we did something that we had never done before.
Oh, I remember that cover. You painted him.
Yeah, so yeah. We literally asked him to paint himself as he does as an artist and his style. And I think, yeah, I think I pushed the envelope there. That was a lot of fun. Another all-time favorite of mine was when I did Ricky Rick. And
we did
all of this headgear on him. And I think I had just returned back from traveling to Dubai. And I saw how men proudly wore their traditional wear there. Like,
yes.
They wore it to the boardroom as opposed to putting on a suit. And I was like, hey, let's see. Because African men around the continent do put on headgear. And let's see how I could interpret that there. And Ricky is amazing. I think he's one male in this country who's willing to try anything and say, hey, we can make this work. Let's make a statement.
Yeah, in fact, there was a cover that I liked that he did. It's like a green cover. I think it was year before last. It's defunct
GQ?
Now. It's defunct now, the magazine.
Okay.
I think it was GQ.
It might have been GQ.
Yeah. And what I love about him is that he's brave.
He's brave. He's like a stylish dream. He's not going to be like, nah, that's not me. Like, he's like, okay, all right, I trust you. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's do this. And
I shot another rapper. I won't say too much because then people are going to know who I'm talking about. I shot another rapper, and I told him, like, we had like a velvet jacket for him. And he was like, this doesn't have enough swag. I looked at him like, boy,
you're
going to wear this.
Can you put it on?
You're going to like
it. Can you put it on?
And it actually turned out, it was, you know, it was on the cover, which was a great shot. But it's nice to work with somebody who's willing to be styled.
Yeah, to be styled. Like,
right?
Can you just let me do my thing?
Exactly.
And then you'll see afterwards.
Exactly.
So I loved working with Ricky. Who else did I loved working with Lyra. I think we were able to show her in a different light when she was wearing that hat, and she had like a red lip on, and we showed her a little bit more thuggy. I really, really, really loved that cover. And I think it's a classic cover. So those are the ones that stick out in my mind right now. Bonang is always great to work with.
Yes.
She's fun. She's so professional. Like, people don't understand. When she arrives on the set, you know, B does her thing.
And I think one of the things I like about her as well is she loves fashion, but she understands that stylists are there to enhance
her.
She lets it go.
She also lets it go. Those are the people that I love working with. Another person I love working with is Terry Petto. I literally just did a shoot with her now. The pictures haven't come out yet, but she's also like, she's fun and she explores. So you're gonna see another side of Terry that she didn't know. She looks a little bit like a bad, but you know, she pulls it off because people always see her in this light. And those are the people that I really enjoy working with. When they're like, okay, when we come in and do your thing. Nom Zamo, also another stylish dream.
I love that girl.
Love her.
Just
her spirit.
Her spirit
I think
is amazing.
She's amazing.
That's why she gets all the things that she gets. That's why
I
was invited to New York.
Literally.
Because she is solid gold.
Solid gold.
She really is.
She really is.
And she's one of those people who can pull off a suit.
Yep.
But she can go from that to like a sexy low cut dress
to like a tomboy thing. Like, she's sporty. She can do it all.
She can do it all.
And those are the people that are exciting to work with because you can move across the spectrum of style and literally still pull it off at them.
So who it doesn't have to be a person, but what kind of shoot have you wanted to do but haven't had the chance to do, where you're like, I would love to shoot something like this, I just haven't had the chance yet?
I really want to tell a story in terms of art and blackness and interpret it so that people, I don't know how to put it. There's a photo series that I've been really, really wanting to do celebrating black privilege. And I think we always speak of white privilege, but if we were to flip the script and say, hey, what does black privilege look like? Why don't we celebrate the things that make us privileged to be black, to make us privileged to grow up Xhosa, or what made us privileged to grow up Zulu, and experiment that and put it into a fashion story. So I'm trying to build that. I really want to exhibit this year. That's my huge dream.
Really?
So I will need to start working on that, not by the end of this year, early
next year.
Of course.
I'm just putting it out there before.
So I think that that's yeah a huge project that I would love to work on.
I think one of the things I want people to understand about fashion is that it's not this vacuous. And I think that's one of the things that makes me sad when you see people on Instagram make it be about another outfit and another outfit and another outfit.
It's really not.
Because it is complex.
Yeah.
If you think about the messages fashion has communicated in different spheres, it's been powerful. You think of the Black Panthers in America. They had a clear way of dressing, which was sort of a military, we will not back down, this is what we look like. You think of Umar Diba when he went to the Rivonia trial, when he was actually going to be put away in prison. He wore full Xhosa garb when he arrived at the magistrate court, and he was also communicating something there. You think of Nina Simone, she always wore turbans for her music videos.
Yeah.
You think of Miriam Makeba. Fashion, whether it's a social, political, is used as a tool to communicate certain
something.
Things. You think of Jean-Paul Gaultier and Madonna when they created that
bustier,
which was basically about like women, we have these organs, they're ours, we own them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So fashion is much more than just a nice outfit.
It's much more just a nice outfit and a cute jacket. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
It's saying a lot.
Exactly.
To the extent when you're like, okay, people came here to colonize us, they first started with our clothes.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They're like, nah, you can't wear that. You guys look like savages.
Yeah.
And this is what you must wear. So it can actually change your entire mindset. So,
exactly.
Yeah, I think we need to look at it in a different light.
Yeah, and I'm going to do this series each month on fashion. And it'll be you and different people that I'm going to bring in. And we'll talk about different things. But I want to do that so people understand that it is a real profession.
Yeah.
You know, it's a real profession to be taken seriously.
Please,
yeah, you can tell this is a bugbear.
No, it is. People are like, you have such a nice job. You just shop all day. And you're like, really?
No.
Not really, guys.
No,
not really.
No, because when you choose to do a fashion story with women who are plus size 36, it's a challenge for the stores, it's a challenge for you. And then you realize the limitations of what's in our stores. You know, that we need to force retailers and designers to cater to women who are... In fact, that's not even a plus size. It's a normal size.
It's a
in this
normal
country.
Size here.
And yet,
like,
why can I not find the jeans?
Why?
You know
why?
What I mean? Why is the shirt tight around my arms? Please, people. So, speaking of designers, who in South Africa, designer-wise, excites you? Somebody that you usually source from, or several of them that you think are quite exciting, whose shows you look forward to going to?
Ole, House of Ole.
Oh, yeah.
I think he always does something different and fresh. And he's always trying to, change what he did the year before, previous year. And I like how he's been mixing the art medium into his garments.
Mm.
So it's art means fashion. And I'm really enjoying that.
And I'm enjoying also when he introduced the woman's line.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people are like, oh,
always
he dresses men. And I think what he's managed to do with the clothing line that's meant for women is that you realize his repertoire is quite extensive.
Yeah,
actually.
It is.
He's
he
not
can do
just
a lot.
One,
exactly. He's not a one man show.
Yeah. And he's such a nice guy.
Super nice. I love Tula. Tula is still my main. I went to school with him. Shout out to my main. But I also think he was able to carve his niche. He's not for everyone. He knows exactly who he's designing for and that type of woman, and I think he does it well. I think when you put on a Tuli Cindy dress, it cinches you in all the right places.
Exactly.
And you feel pretty. You feel like really pretty.
I mean, also if you think about it, Diane von Furstenberg was known for creating the wrap dress.
Yeah.
Okay. And it has been her signature. She does many other things, but the wrap dress is
her signature.
And I think the shift dress in South Africa has become Tula's.
It really is.
He owns that aesthetic, and women know, no matter what age you are, whether you're in your 20s, your 40s, or your 50s, that when you arrive and you put this on, and you put a Tula Cindy shift dress on, it's going to be
amazing.
Yeah.
Who else am I loving? I love Rich Nisi. I like his experimental style. He's also a really great guy, a really, really nice, sweet guy. But I think he also, this whole gender fluid thing, I think he's pulling it off nicely. And he has beautiful shapes and beautiful silhouettes, and he also pushes the limit a little bit. So I'm really, really loving Rich as well.
So it's quite an interesting group of people that you've chosen. I noticed something. They all of them are men.
It's now women.
Why?
Is there a why? I
don't think yes.
There is. There?
Is there?
I don't think there is. I think those are the people that just immediately stuck out in my mind.
At the time.
Right now. Okay. Yeah. And I know I'm going to be like, oh, when I'm in a car. And I'm like, of course. What about? Oh, Palisa Mokubo. I think she's
I'm
been
glad
in...
I put you on the pressure.
Thank you. She's been in the game for a minute. But yeah, I just... Also, I think I also tend to gravitate to people that I not only like their clothes, but I like them as human beings.
Yes.
And then I'm able to see that via their clothing. Yeah. I think she's an amazing, yeah, she's an amazing stylist. She's an amazing designer. Yeah, I really loved her last collection.
Yeah, yeah. She's, what I like about her is that through the years, for those of us who've been going to Fashion Week forever now, is that she not only has evolved, but yeah. has stuck to her guns in terms yeah. of what she does.
Yeah, exactly.
So what certain people do is that they'll veer off into other lanes because they're panicking,
like, yeah.
because they're seeing other people do something else. And she has just been like, you know what? This is who I am. This is what I do.
And she just...
And I'm quite happy yeah. with that, you know? So she's... Yeah, definitely.
Love her.
Definitely. Thank God. With only 10 minutes to go, I'm still talking to Mpumi Sinqotho. Am I saying it properly?
That's right. Sinqotho.
Sinqotho. Sinqotho. Sinqotho. I'm trying to... My boyfriend says my course is really bad. So this just proves that Mpumi is a fashion editor, fashion stylist, a mother. You can follow her on Instagram at MPU_ME or on Twitter at MPUMZ. Am I right?
Correct.
Is it Twitter and Facebook?
Yeah, it's okay. Twitter, yeah, Instagram. On what, Facebook? I think I'm just Mpumi.
Okay.
Mpumi Sinqotho. Mpumi Ntintili Sinqotho.
Okay. How do you balance, and then we'll talk about wardrobe staples as a close, but how do you balance your work and your life? How do you make sure that you are there for your husband, that you practice self-care for yourself, that you see your girlfriends, how do you do it?
To be quite honest, I think self-care is something that I've been totally missing.
Yeah.
And something that I said I'm specifically going to chase this year.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, I think I've always been about the family or work, the family or work.
Yeah.
It's always a hard balance. I don't think you ever have a balance, but you try to do the best that you can. I think it's really that, and it's help in creating a schedule. Like this year, we woke up and we put like a whole schedule on the board, and we're like, Monday, Mpumi does this, and Amonga does this. And I'm just trying to create a little bit more order in the house. But yeah, it's literally hands. It's just helping one another. I can't really say that I balance it to some degree. Me, I think of myself last all of the time. Mm. And I'm really trying to say, hey, okay, I understand I'm a mother of four and I'm a wife and I'm in this industry, but there's also me that I need to take care of. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, I unfortunately, in the last year, also fell off my own list. And it shows, you know.
It does.
Like, it shows. Like, I haven't worked out and I feel it. I see it. Nobody has to tell me. You know, there was a point I was eating in the car. You know what I mean? I used to think, who are these losers? You don't have time to sit properly and
eat.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, putting on, like, my mascara
in the car.
And I've realized that it's okay not to be. Sometimes, some days are 70% days.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with 70%.
Yeah.
Like, I truly believe that in order for me to start caring for myself, and I'm sure you're like that as well, you've got to be conscious about it.
Yeah.
You've
got to
do things for yourself, right?
For yourself.
So it's a lesson for me and Pumi and everybody else listening. Self-care, guys. Self-care.
Self-care. It's important.
It's the theme for this year.
It really is.
I really think most of us realize the past 2 years also were weird.
There's a lot was going on.
I was just like, you know, it's, and I think so many of us this year are just like, let me get it together.
Yeah, I don't know, but I started it so like on a positive note. I'm like, this is gonna be my year.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know what I mean? Like,
and that's why when I was thinking of like the first few people that I want on the show, I mean, you're like the third guest, and it's all like friends and people I know. And we are, I just want to say, like, here's the team, the people who are awesome, you know?
Yeah.
And we can all try and be a little bit better. You know what I mean? Okay, so let's, before we wrap up with Mpumi, every woman, in fact, let's do for men and women.
Okay.
Every person has things that they think they need in their wardrobe, but very rarely do you get a stylist to tell you. So what are the 5 things a woman should have in her wardrobe and the men should have in her wardrobe? Once again, Mpumi, this is not, you shouldn't be, guys, don't listen to Mpumi and now go think, yeah, I wore it and it wasn't right. These are just things to help you,
yeah,
you know, carve your way around the wardrobe and the... You know, people say, dress like a boss. Dress the way you want people to
perceive you.
To perceive you. So it's important.
Yeah.
So just the 5 staples, the 5 things that men and women should have. 5 for each.
I think the key is always to get classic items. So whether I'm wearing it in 2018 or whether I'm wearing it in 2024, nobody should be able to pick that up.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can always do that via a white shirt.
Yeah. It's always...
always.
That is the number one thing. A white shirt can go from the boardroom to the party.
To the party, yeah. You know what I mean? You can style it up, you can style it down, but you can also play with it. So a lot of white shirts now, it's about the interesting detail that you put onto it and the shape that you put onto it. So definitely a white skirt. I heard you speak of jeans, and you're saying jeans aren't for everyone, but I feel like there is a fit for everyone.
Yeah,
I really do. So if you have a banging pair of jeans, when you put them on and you step into a pair of heels and you look cute, I think everybody should own a banging pair of jeans.
So maybe after the show, you'll give me some tips about where to go.
Yes, yes.
Because I need to
and
know
then
where
just
to go.
Actually have them adjusted to you, you know what I mean? That's the other option to do. I think a very classic outerwear, so like a trench coat or that type of thing for winter. It doesn't have to be too heavy or too light, but I think for men and women, if you have like a staple beautiful coat, I think that's something that you should always have.
In fact, I think the first 3 items could go either or.
Yeah,
like a guy can have a white shirt, jeans, you know,
and a coat.
Men.
Suit, man. Every man has to. I don't understand men who don't know their suit size. Yeah. They'll be like suit size, and they'll be like medium, and they'll be like, no, we'll get fitted for suits. You know, like, am I 38? Am I 36? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Know your suit size. Have a suit that fits you like a glove. I think there's nothing better than a tailored suit on a man. Women, there's gotta be those pair of pumps that literally. You can wear, like you said, you can wear into the boardroom, but you can also wear out with the girls' night out.
Yeah.
A classic pump, a beautiful classic pump. Yeah. Doesn't have to be red bottoms, but yeah.
Yeah, because I know. Listen, guys, we know you want what you want, but a shoe's a shoe's a shoe.
A shoe's a shoe.
It doesn't have to be red bottoms.
It doesn't have to be red bottoms. It doesn't have to be red bottoms. What are we on now, man?
A you sort of mixed it around.
A watch.
I am such a believer in a good watch.
In a good watch.
It can literally make a guy sexy.
Really?
You
and
would
really?
Be looking
and
at
him like, put the wrist on tape and be like,
yeah,
okay,
yes,
okay.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, and the timepiece is something to actually invest in, you know? Like,
And
also appreciates. So I think a timepiece. Yeah. Every man should have a really beautiful timepiece. Yeah. What are we on?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 3 more items.
Three more. I'm a bag. Woman, bags.
I was waiting for you to say
bags.
That. So
bags.
There are 3 things I spend money on, okay? First is watches. Love watches. Like a timepiece, obviously. A bag is one of them. And good shoes. Not when I say good shoes, I don't mean expensive shoes.
Good shoes.
I mean shoes that are meant for you. Where you're not gonna, you know, it's not going to be a corn type situation. Shoes that fit, that look good. That's what I spend money on. But yes, bags.
And I don't think, again with gags, I wouldn't follow trends, but I would follow those classic bags, like classic leather, beautiful bags. And again, not everybody has to have an LV. It'd be great if we could all afford
who doesn't
the
want
Chanel's
that?
And the Michael Kors, you know what I mean? We're not all there, but just a beautiful classic bag. I think it can add to anything.
Yeah.
Literally.
So before you mention your last 2 items, this is another thing that I want to say, that... If you can't afford the real thing, Do not buy the thing.
Just leave it.
Just until you can do it. Just get another nicer bag, people.
That's it.
The fake. Hi, guys. Me, it's my philosophy. Like, I would love, right now, I would love a Givenchy or Prada bag.
You know what I mean?
But the truth is, I do not have $1,000.
I don't have it.
So, you know what? I'm going to love it on the people who can. Yes. And say, Lord, one day you'll bless me.
With that bag. Until then, let me stick.
Okay,
you know
with
what I
the
mean?
Ones. Yeah. Because you, you know, it's not good.
Let's not.
Okay, the last two items.
Last two, trainers. Trainers. A really cute pair of trainers. I think you can play. I think that's also depending on your personality. So I don't want to say a specific type. But
yeah.
Trainers, again, you can wear them with something more juicy, but you can also just rock them with a pair of jeans. So.
Yeah, and you know what I love? But you know, I like sort of Air Force Ones. I'm a sneakerhead. As much as
I'm
like heels, is it's important to realize you don't have to go to a concert in high heels.
No,
we know you want to do the most,
but
you can wear flats.
Yeah. Like, where are you
Why
going?
Why are you hurting yourself like this? Exactly. And then I wanted to. You haven't said anything about an LBD. You don't think? Women,
I don't know. I guess I don't think it has to be black anymore.
Yeah.
I think it can be a little red dress or
exactly.
a little yellow dress.
Exactly.
I think. Yeah. I don't think specifically it has to be black
yeah.
anymore.
So the last item. So we've got a white shirt, jeans, a trench coat, pumps for men, a timepiece, suit, a bag, and trainers. And then one more thing that everybody needs in their wardrobe.
The dress that you're talking about.
Yeah.
The dress that can be worn in different ways. So not specifically a color, but yeah, that can be dressed up and can be dressed down. That can
yeah.
be paired up and that can be paired down. That dress that just fits your body
yeah.
the way that it should.
The freakum dress is Beyonce calls
you,
it.
You know what
when
I mean?
You walk out, you're like, yeah, y'all better, like, feel me. So, Mpumi, somebody who's listening now, they want to use your stylist services. They want to book you to either clear out their closet or even shoot with you. Where can they get a hold of you? Please remember, it's an email address that you don't mind people.
Yeah.
Reading out on air, because if you do, then
not a problem. Yeah. You can hit me up on mpumi.sinxoto, so that's sinxoto @gmail.com. If you need anything, yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Okay, let me read that out to you again. It's mpumi.sinxoto@gmail.com.
That's correct.
Mpumi, it has been such a pleasure having you.
Thank
here.
You. Thank you for having me.
You will come back again.
Please.
And then
had
again.
Too much fun. A lot of fun.
Let's practice soft cake. Keep making people beautiful.
Thank you.
It means
and keep
a lot.
Doing what you do. Keep doing what
Thank
you,
thank you. As long as I have other women like you and other people to support me, you know what? There's nothing we can't get through. So you can tell your friends who are not able to listen to this live to download the podcast on cliffcentral.com or go to our Facebook page, Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. You can also follow me on Twitter and on Instagram. It's @LeratoTJ. You can do the same with Mpumi on Instagram. She's MPU_ME. And on Twitter, it's @MPUMZ. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank
we will
you
see you next
me.
Week.
Bye.
Welcome to the good life.
You're tuned into Living It Up with me, Lerato Shabalala. We are up and live every Thursday from 12 until 1 here on cliffcentral.com. Can't stay from bottom to the top. My lifestyle.
This is CliffCentral.com.